But this is no ordinary cop. And this is no ordinary jewel thief. From Hong Kong New Wave Master Director Kirk Wong, the second in the trilogy that brought you Jackie Chan's crime story, Anthony Wong, Cecilia Yip, and the star of John Woo's classic The Killer, Danny Lee. A killer with a code of honor. A cop who will stop at nothing. A saga of good and evil and all the shades of gray in between. A tale of ordinary madness. On file at the Organized Crime and Triad Bureau.
When you can take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave.
Ninja, the tea party's over.
It ain't heat.
Good evening and welcome to the It Ain't Heat podcast, the Asian action cast, where we review, recap, revamp the best and worst of Hong Kong and Asian action cinema. And taking down the crime alleys is, hello, I'm Sam. And across from me is Scott. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Rachel.
Hello.
Nathan.
Hi.
And Mikey.
Hello.
And pour one out for our compatriot Chris, who got shot out at the street shootout that we had.
Brap, brap.
Brap, brap.
He was determined to come here and the old West just took him down.
That's damn right.
Dragon got him.
See, when you say dragon in like a Hong Kong film, it could be anybody.
It's always the main hero though, right? It's never like the side guy.
It's either dragon or tiger. Like,
Tiger's usually the second dude, right? He's player two.
Yeah.
He's the guy in the red.
Wait, hang on. I thought Red was the main character.
Usually, no. When you put Double Dragon, you push one player. It's Blue Guy.
Jesus.
It's okay. Billy.
No, Jibby.
Bimmy.
Bimmy
and Jimmy.
I like Bibby better. Bibby.
Yes. So
Bibby Netanyahu.
I feel like we've had a few different crime films that we've done recently. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
We had Punish Evil. That was a crime heisty type film. But as we always do, we do struggle to find a film or think of a film. And Rachel, it was your turn to choose a film.
It was my turn. I don't know. I just suggested it.
Well, it's got Anthony Wong in it.
Yeah.
No, well, actually, what
the
was
Wongster.
It, what was it that made you choose this? Was it Anthony Wong? Or no, you wanted to see a Kirk Cameron. Kirk Cameron.
Damn.
Sorry, Kirk Wong.
I wanted to see a Kirk Wong directed film because I started a rabbit hole where I looked at some 1983 crazy film that he did. And then I realized he did like a trio of crime movies, including the Jackie one.
Crime Story.
But this one is the one that's in the middle from 1994. So I thought, this sounds interesting. It's got Danny Lee in it, Mr. Cop himself.
Yes.
So
this crazy movie you were watching beforehand, is that worthy for the Asian action cast in the future, perhaps?
If you can find subtitles or you learn Cantonese, sure.
I know a bit of Cantonese. I mean, shit, most of the dialogue is just, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
Gao Chor.
Yeah, like, Gao Chor. Pok guy. Fall down in the street. Because they say fuck you a lot in this film, but there's no real fuck you, is there?
Just fuck your mother and eat a banana, so.
Is that actually true? Because I always thought, you know, they say hum ga chan, which is like, you know.
They said that too. They said that.
Yeah, but that's
angry.
Not fuck you.
Which is worse, though? Your mother, you're fucking your mother or your whole family dying?
All right, this podcast isn't about the movie anymore. We're doing other swear words from other cultures and languages.
Well, we're trying to replicate the criminals in this. Actually, it was mostly the cops, wasn't it?
That
was
I know, right? Sure, they're the worst.
I know for you Thai speakers, I hear maybe you're Chuck Wow here and there, but I can't say more than that. Look that one up.
What was the name of the movie?
The name of the film? The Organized Crime and Triad Bureau, a 1994 Kirk Wong directed crime thriller starring Danny Lee, Cecilia Yip, Anthony Wong, Mr. Sir Anthony Wong. Has he been knighted? He should have been.
I think he's on the run.
I think he's been knighted by the sleaze merchants.
The amazing Fan Siu Wong, a young, big, bright-eyed Fan Siu Wong with most of his shirt undone. And Roy Cheung, before he got kicked out of, well, I was going to say Hollywood, but Hong Kongwood, Hong Kong cinema. And Louis Koo, he actually has a mention in the credits.
Apparently this is his debut role.
Is it really? Louis Koo, first film that he's ever been in.
He's probably still a TVB at that time. So he was not really doing big roles in film by that time. He hasn't even got a tan yet. That's how you measure his fame, whether he's gotten a tan yet.
Did he have lines in this film? I can't remember.
Yeah.
He did?
Did he say something? I don't remember.
He was. You talk about the guy that's with the woman the whole time, right?
Dapper Thug.
At the end?
No, he got caught very early on in the film.
Oh,
he's wearing
okay.
like a red shirt and glasses, I
got
think.
Got floppy hair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm thinking of the cop that's with the... Yeah, I thought that's who you're
talking
about.
It was only like two word lines kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, uh-oh, got to get away.
Get him.
Yeah. Just to digress, Louis Koo is like one of the... He's one of the best looking leading men out at the moment, right? Like it's between him and Sean Lau.
I agree or not.
No?
What are you talking about?
Have you seen...
Best looking.
Now?
Huh?
Lewis? He's got to be 50.
Sean Lau, best looking. I don't think... I mean, I like Sean Lau, but I don't think he's best looking.
I saw a Barbie. It was a Louis Koo Barbie Ken doll. Did anyone see this today?
No.
I'll post it on our Instagram, Asian Action Cast at Instagram. But it was a Louis Koo Ken doll. And I was like, holy shit, that looks exactly like Louis Koo. It was pretty good.
All right.
Can I mention two other people in this movie?
Please
yes.
do.
Lee Fi, who is the female detective of the squad, doing all the kicks and the squats.
Oh, yeah. Is she a martial artist? Do you know?
No idea. Never heard of her. And a guy called Ho Shu Wing, who is the mayor later on of the island, who's complaining.
Oh, he has a lot of speaking time.
He's pretty cool.
It's just she was martial arts director for Legend of the Dragon.
She's really cool. I'd like to see her more stuff.
She's got Chun-Li legs. Like, she's got strong Chun-Li legs.
And they always put her down and like, no, she kicks ass.
They made fun of her breasts being small. Yeah. And they were
They seem adequate.
They were pretty, yeah, they were fine. Anything more than a handful's a waste, right? So have we got any, before we go into pitch this film, any other trivia anyone want to drop about Louis Koo? Fan Su Wong, who I you reminded me, well, you didn't remind me, you told me before who his father was.
Yeah.
And I was like, I see no family resemblance at all.
Exactly.
But we don't know who his mother is, do we?
I've never worked it out. I tried to Google it in Chinese, but I don't know.
He just came to existence from his dad jerking off or something.
What?
I don't know.
Like a genie.
Yeah. Immaculate conception. That's what it would have to be,
like,
immaculate
he's
conception.
He's taller than his dad. His dad's got small eyes. He's got big eyes. What?
Yeah, Rosamund Kwan, she's got big eyes.
She does. You mentioned that every time she's in a movie. Like, she's got eyes are huge.
Do you know, I made the comment earlier that I'm amazed that Fan Su Wong is able to grow a beard. But his dad has a beard.
Yes.
His dad has like a straggly big beard.
Is this part of the male genome? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, let's not digress into Fan
Su Wong. I don't have any trivia apart from this is Louis Koo's debut film, but isn't this organized crime and tribe bureau like also a series, a TV series?
You're confusing it with things that are called OC2B because it's the same name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that the actual name?
Is this obsession with this, what, the crime?
Yeah, like is there an actual like FBI
or
something?
I think it's supposed to be a, like, I don't know anything about Hong Kong that much, but I think it's supposed to be a crime bureau.
An anti-organized crime bureau. It probably does actually exist.
But it suggests that there is a special section of it that looks specifically at triads.
Yeah, there would be.
But organized triads are organized crime.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, but there'd be other. But that'd be what they mostly do.
That's like us having an organized crime and bikey bureau.
Yeah. Probably. Sometimes they have to look into the mafia.
Probably do.
Yeah.
Or you know the Lebanese gangs.
Okay.
But mostly they're dealing with the bikies.
I'm very sheltered. I don't know about many gangs.
Also, I just thought it was interesting because it's 1994, right? So it's 3 years before handover, and I feel like people are obsessed with like mainlanders coming in and. Like, you know,
being weirdos,
fucking up the joint.
There was a bit of commentary, wasn't there, about, you know, talking about mainlanders being weird and shit.
It's basically all these movies have, like, just mainlanders coming in.
That's how they get their guns and
crime drugs, whatever.
That's where the crime comes from, the mainlanders coming
in. And then because I was in the mood, I was looking up the title and then like things like the TVB series from like 1994 are practically the same kind of thing, except for like, you know, 20 episodes or something and you know, brightly lit. It's the same kind of cop shop shit.
Does that mean that there are like mainland Chinese films that are like, we're going to go and take over Hong Kong? Or maybe the Hong Kong people are going
to
come?
No, I think if you cast your mind back to the mid-90s, that's when movies like Infernal Affairs and stuff came out. So I think it was a bit of a cop movie kind of trend thing going on
at that time.
Yeah, around that time.
What year was Heat?
If you
like 94 95.
Oh,
I think it's after this.
I think it is. Yeah, but
what,
Michael Mann made an early film that's exactly Heat.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly.
Oh,
for TV he did a TV movie that's exactly Heat.
What's that?
I can't remember the fucking name of it. It's terrible. I'm not watching that. It's a TV movie.
So anyway, we're talking about the trends that happen in in the movie industry, effectively. Yeah. You know, when one comes out, makes a bunch of money, then they make a whole bunch of other movies around similar
pretty
subjects.
Pretty much the same thing, all cop
yeah.
movies.
Yeah.
But, I mean, cop movies have been a thing
yeah, for let's the not, 80s yeah, into yeah. They the were 90s. Around all the time.
But I mean, specifically around, like, Triad and, you know, and the crime then, that was going on.
Then afterwards, you get the whole wave of gangster movies after this, but
it was that's, like that's Young later. And Dangerous as well, right?
That's,
like, similar
yeah,
time.
Yeah, 97.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so...
And Roy Cheung is like, does he have bleached
the
chips?
King, the king of, yeah,
yeah.
gangsters.
I have one more cast credit to note here. Mustache is Pac-Man Wong Pac-Man.
Thank you so much. Mustache deserves recognition.
He's the true hero of
this story. He's a good cop. Not all heroes wear capes. Some grow mustaches.
And some sweat profusely.
Yes, all right. This is true.
So we've talked about what kind of film it is. If you had to pitch this film to somebody, how would you pitch it, Mikey?
Have you ever wanted to watch a movie where you're not sure if the bad guy or the good guy is the good guy? This is the movie for you.
Really? This movie and not fucking John Woo's The Killer?
Okay. I would pitch it as Anthony Wong puts dog shit on his face.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That would get me to watch it. Yeah, I'd watch that.
I was thinking, if you have a short attention span, you should watch this movie because it's just jittery from start to finish.
Infinite small scenes.
I just keep thinking everyone was sped up or something, a little talking faster, but it's just the movie.
And it suddenly just pans into, like, you know, back scenes. And, you know,
flashbacks all the time.
Yeah. Without like crossing to it, it's just like the next scene, and you're like, Is it in the past?
Is it happening now?
Then? I don't know.
I need a filter.
I need you to do a fade
Put a sepia tone on it or something. And
Bonnie and Clyde's Infernal Affairs.
Bonnie and Clyde's Infernal Affairs. I actually was going to say what you just said, which is this is the reason why filters were invented. So that you can tell what the past was. But yeah, this is a bad Heat. I've never seen Heat. So I assume it's a bad
Heat. I don't think this movie's bad. We need to stop talking about Heat.
Yes. You need to stop talking about Heat.
It's mentioned everywhere, though. Like I said, I kept looking up web reviews. Well, only just skimming them there. I kept saying Heat.
But Heat is 90. You're right. Heat is 95, and this is 94. So this is pre-Heat.
Yeah.
Pre-Heat.
I've seen it once, and I don't remember it being a great movie. I remember it being really long.
It's a very long movie. Michael, you'll like it now that you're an adult.
Okay.
I think you probably watched it last time when we were like 15.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right, hold. Remind me at the end of,
to edit all this Heat talk out, because
no,
I agree.
No. The Heat talk's getting staying in. There's a review I want to quote from at the end of this movie, at the end of this podcast about this movie.
Okay.
Cool.
All right.
Will it be better than ours?
Now, wait and see.
All right. So I'll just do a quick setup of the genre, and then I guess we can move into the plot. So it is a cop film, and it is a cat and mouse.
Yes.
Cop film. You've got a grizzled cop, veteran cop, who is just like a dog with a bone, and you've got a charismatic, unhinged villain.
You might say it's Raging Fire starring Donnie Yen, which we watched a couple of months ago.
You might say that exactly, except there is no kicks or punches or anything in this
film. That's a lie.
There's a couple of kicks and punches.
Yes.
But that's not the
point. Not from the main star, though.
Yeah, he doesn't really do much, does he?
Yeah, Danny, he does. Not Anthony Wong, but the main star is the other
Dragon
one.
Lee.
Danny, yeah, he flips a guy and he punches a dude in the face in the courthouse.
No, I meant kick. I never saw him kick one person.
I don't think Danny Lee is.
I give you flips and punches.
Danny Lee looks into the camera. Like, he looks into the camera with his eyes and punches you with his eyes. And he's got that whole, I'll whip my blazer to the back and put my hand on my hip. You don't know if I'm going to pull out my gun. I could just be standing here with my hand on my hip. But, and he looks good.
Do you feel like this whole movie is like, you feel like you've been constantly being arrested by Danny Lee?
Yeah, kind of. Because he's just standing there.
I don't feel like I'm being arrested, but I do feel like I'm being judged pretty heavily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I'm going to be honest. I kind of wanted him to get his comeuppance in the end.
The one thing I did like, though, because they throughout the movie, and we'll go through it, they had this back and forth of you know, trying to get one on each other. And I did like the fact that they had the cops get one on him a couple times as well. Usually it's just like, you know, the bad guy escaping because he's done something or thought better than, you know, the cops are at the time. And they do flip that a little bit, which was fun.
One thing I would have liked to have seen more that I thought they tried but didn't really work was the fun is when one side is one step ahead. like the bad guy is either one step ahead because he's got a plan, or the cops are one step ahead because they've found something out.
I like when there's a changeover, actually. That's my favorite thing in these, where one guy is ahead and then other ones that when then someone triggers it,
yeah,
and then goes, we got to fucking figure this shit out, and then they and it
flips the script.
Flips the script.
That's that kind of
that doesn't happen in this movie.
No. Nobody's ahead of anything.
Things are just happening.
It's all
just
running
blind. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like a series of events, isn't it? And it does have to stumble over.
Everybody's so incompetent that it keeps succeeding.
Exactly.
So when Anthony Wong looks at the camera and smirks like he knows what's going to happen next, you know he doesn't. He has no idea.
Nope.
Would you put it, it's kind of more realistic in that sense? That there's not like a super cop who knows everything or a super crim that knows everything. It's just like some guy's trying to get away and the other guys are trying to catch him and he shoots a whole bunch of people.
Maybe it'd be a good time to quote from this review now.
Oh yeah, go on.
And a bit of foreshadowing if you...
Sure.
You know. But okay, this is from Ewaffle, who I've quoted from many times.
God, what is this website?
This is a review from HKMDB. The reviewer, so he reviewed this in 2007, says, if I were a wanted criminal fleeing the police and were given a choice between the Keystone Cops, Leslie Nielsen's police squad, or the intrepid band of anti-crime warriors led by Inspector Lee in Organized Crime and Tribune, I'd feel like I'd have a better chance of escaping if Lee were after me. Lee mobilizes the PTU and the Maritime Division of the Hong Kong Police Force to hunt Anthony Wong and Cecilia Yip. The police have all the advantages. The suspects are on a small island and there's no place for them to go. They have no supplies, no weapons, and are reduced to smearing themselves with animal dung to confuse the tracking dogs. Lee himself directs a search from a helicopter, but the fugitives elude him to manhunt long enough to call for other officers. Yes.
I 100%
agree.
Was
that a review or just a summary?
That seemed like a summary.
Apparently. He's right.
Yes. So just getting into the plot of the film. So we've got a cat and mouse thing that opens up with... it opens up in the offices of the police, right? And are they interrogating someone right then and there?
They were getting ready for a raid.
They were getting ready to go on that raid. Yeah, that's right. So it opens with that and they're like, you'll come with me. Get the best, son. Let's do it. And everybody's like, gung-ho.
Do they come in bigger sizes?
Because I'm a fatty.
That was a really weird opening too.
Yes, it wasn't.
Well, it's kind of like the locker room build-up, right? Like the sports locker room build-up where you've got a sport team, NFL team or whatever, and they're saying, oh, everybody gear up because we're going to go get this shit done. And it's a very testosterone, macho-fueled, let's go fuck shit up.
Yeah. And so they go to this apartment. I'm going to say it's an apartment or a hotel or something.
It was an apartment, yeah.
Definitely an apartment. All right. So they go in there and the bad guys have been there, but the bad guys know that they're coming because there's a mole in the police. Anyway, so they go in there and they're out and they set up a grenade trap and then they fall down and Anthony Wong like rolls down a hill. Right? That's much what happens.
A couple of things.
He gets away by rolling down a hill.
Lots of hill rolling.
The
in
first
this movie.
Time. The first instance.
The first of three times in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. The grassy knoll protects him. Now, a couple of things from this raid that I thought were memorable. One is that Inspector Danny Lee, I'm going to call him Danny Lee. It's Inspector Lee.
He must have been seen Danny Lee in every movie.
Dragon Lee.
Yeah.
The grenade trap you're talking about, he opens the door, pulls the pin, and he grabs the grenade before it releases the
clip.
The clip?
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, probably a clip.
So he has to carry this grenade, right?
While he's falling down a hill, while he's jumping into a pool.
Yeah, which I guess would slow me down too, only having one hand and having to hold a grenade. But he jumps out of a window into a pool while holding a grenade.
Where there's children, by the way.
Yes.
Quite a dangerous thing to do with a live grenade.
Oh, none of the cops care about any collateral damage in this film at all.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I give him that, but... I counted at least four or five opportunities he had to throw the grenade where it would blow up away from people and he still chose to hold on to it.
Maybe he was caring. He was caring about not damaging
Maybe he thought
property.
It was evidence.
I feel like he cares about anything.
Why would he hold... And then, right, and also he can't swim.
He cares about catching criminals.
Oh, of course.
He's a terrible swimmer. And you could tell because his pecs aren't that defined, but his butt is awesome. So he carries this grenade... Then is rolling down the hill, shooting while rolling down the hill and missing entirely.
He misses completely.
Yeah. And he gets back and then he uses, I think, a toothpick to secure the grenade.
Yeah, puts it back in where the pin would go.
I think that's a poor choice.
Yeah, I also believe that is a poor choice. And then he gets his ass reamed by like the head of the police or whatever.
Captain? Is it the captain?
I fucking know.
The captain's shouting at him.
It's just his captain, yeah.
The captain, so it's his boss and then the police captain... are telling him, hey, you done fucked up. And he just walks away.
Yeah.
He's not listening.
Because apparently there are no... This is what I've learned from this movie. The police are a law unto themselves when they want to be. Which is kind of true. So, you know.
I don't know. I think there is a hierarchy, especially in the Hong Kong police.
Yeah, but...
Was it that British dude later on?
The one white guy?
Because everyone looked younger than him, so I feel like he's been there so long he doesn't give a shit. Maybe.
Are you saying that it's Confucian rules?
Well, not quite.
Two things here.
Seniority trumps.
That hill looked really steep.
Like, it did.
They were sliding.
If you lost control, you'd go flipping for a while.
Well, they needed some Samo cardboard at the bottom to break the fall.
I will say that was a shit stunt. Even if it wasn't Anthony Wong, because whoever it was that did it had to wear a dressing gown, boxers?
Yeah, boxers.
Mm-hmm.
And was he wearing shoes?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Maybe slippers? I'm not sure.
Yeah. And he had to roll down there with... And his girlfriend had a skirt, I think, just a dress.
Yeah, something like that.
Also, those bulletproof vests look like North Face puffer jackets you'd wear in the winter.
They look like Charlie Nash from Street Fighter.
It was kind of like... you know, like an army vest kind of thing. But I was kind of going, like, I've seen other movies contemporary where they've actually got police vests at the time. So I was wondering, is it budget being cheap or something?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to put it out there that if I was in their situation and I had to wear a bulletproof vest, I would at least zip that fucker up.
Yeah.
It's too hot. They're so sweaty already.
This whole movie is too hot.
It's not the time to be fashionable. Is it hot in Hong Kong? I don't know.
It is humid.
It's humid?
Yeah, but I don't normally recall people sweating so bad in a movie.
This is so funny that it's like a parody because every progressive scene that Fancy Wong is in, there are more and more buttons being undone in his shirt. To the point where his shirt is just wide open at one point. And then I joked that he was going to undo his fly. He undoes his fly later.
He has a kidney problem?
Yeah, he has a kidney problem. Yeah. He's got a piss. So, hey, look, he's pretty jacked. I'd say he's 2000s fit in this film.
So, we're not going to go through every scene because there's infinite scenes in this fucking movie. So,
makes it cool.
Scenes we remember in chronology if we can.
Yeah, all right. So, what's the next one anyone remembers?
They roll down the grassy knoll.
Yeah, they roll down the grassy knoll. He steals the taxi or he makes the driver take him.
Then you've got the, he's getting... He gets shoot out by his boss and they have a media photograph session with all the weapons and things that they did. So he kind of gets out of being chewed out because the boss then has to deal with the media and stuff.
I was waiting for the grenade to go off during that scene.
we were all looking at the grenades going, where's the toothpick? And then all of them are going to a bar and you start to get the inner workings of the police force, I think. Where one of them is it Scringer's daughter or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, Roy Cheung, the good looking, smarmy sleazebag.
Dun dun dun! He is the mole.
Spoilers!
Let's give it away straight away.
Why? It's a podcast about a movie. They can just go watch the movie.
Three, two, one. Spoilers. Roy Cheung is banging. Is it his daughter?
I thought that might be just like Bravo talk, like just.
Yeah, like dudes giving each other shit.
Yeah.
Because I always like when we all go to the toilet together, that it doesn't happen. We all just sit there and we like piss into a trough and we're all talking about who we're banging.
Yeah. Well, we're not cops. We wouldn't know.
And asking the guy that was in the stall to take a shit.
Hey, boss, take a shit.
Is it sloppy today?
I find the toilet is not the place for conversation.
No, it's a place to get the fuck in.
I'm trying to balance. I'm trying not to piss in my shoes.
I need to fart silently. I don't want anyone to know that I'm here.
Yeah. So it kind of is all set up to give the impression that Dragon Lee's on the outer with all of his bosses.
Because they all talk shit about him in the bar, right?
Take no prisoners kind of... policeman, whereas they're all of the others are just more concerned with getting their pictures and, you know.
He's a bit too intense.
You know, the thing I would have loved to have seen is he's a super intense guy and throughout the whole film, you don't really feel like you like this guy. But for some reason, he has a very dedicated crew that are willing to do shit for him, with him, that would get them in the shit. They're breaking police protocol, essentially. What has he done to deserve that kind of loyalty?
I don't know.
I'd love to have seen that.
All the movies and the police persona he's set up in previous movies.
You reckon that it's just a thing where you see Jackie Chan.
It's just accepted, yeah.
You accept that Jackie Chan knows martial arts, so you see Danny Lee and you go...
Cop.
He does have cop face.
Yeah, he does.
Also, at this point, we have no idea what Anthony Wong and crew are in trouble for.
Yeah, we don't know for ages.
This is the point. I think it got to at least halfway through the movie before one of the flashbacks kind of showed one of their crimes.
Yeah, and I'm going to go out on a limb and just say that crime was not worth shutting down an entire fucking island.
They shut down the island and they got the military.
Mm-hmm.
They had cops with sticks poking fucking holes in the
ground. Yeah, they were looking for the snakes.
The National Whacking Day. Yeah.
Like, what's the island called? Chung...
Huh?
Chung...
Chung Chau?
Yeah. I've never...
That's a real island?
Yeah. Oh.
That's cool, like having it set there. It's different, you know? I like it.
It's a pretty big island though, because... It was. I saw the wide shot when Anthony Wong and his Mrs. Cecilia Yip were at the top, and it had a panning shot, and it had big resort and everything, right?
Yeah.
Surely they could have went and hid somewhere else, except for that one mountain that everyone else was on.
Yeah, possibly.
I suppose we'll just to lead into it. So Anthony Wong and that hiding out on the island, and the police listened to a phone call of the girlfriend calling the wife of Anthony Wong, who has the kid. Just to let them know they're okay, and they hear in the background about a ferry, so that leads them to the island. So then they all hop on two jet boats and just speed out there without knowing exactly where they are.
Music scene.
Exactly.
Because Danny Lee listens over and over to a piece of reel-to-reel tape.
Yep.
And he finally goes, and hears the ferry in the background, the announcement or something. He's like, I got it.
Yeah, everybody else is going home, but he's so dedicated.
And the clue was the ferry's boarding in 5 minutes. And so they look at what the time the call was and work out that only one ferry in the entire of Hong Kong is leaving at 11:30.
Can't be that hard.
He was listening to that Judas Priest song backwards to hear the satanic messages or whatever.
So
I want to say just a quick thing here, that Anthony Wong, something you should know about his character is that he has a child. He loves his kid.
But we don't ever see that kid.
No. But it's important that you know that he loves that kid.
See a photo of the kid.
Yeah.
Also, he looks drastically different to any other movie I've seen him in this movie.
Drastically different?
I wouldn't say drastically.
I mean, it depends on his...
That's why I said, for me, drastically.
Depends on his weight.
His hair was good.
And his age.
Is this the fittest that he's been?
What's a fit?
I don't know. With all the cigarettes he's smoking, I'm not sure.
like he looks kind of... Not muscular, but he looks kind of athletic.
He looks like he's got lots of acne.
Oh, he's just got bad pockmarks.
He's always had pockmarks.
Yeah. But I mean, in terms of his physicality, his aesthetic, he looks not
deranged.
Not deranged. I don't know. Has he ever been jacked? Has he ever been fit?
Let's be honest. When Anthony Wong sweats, it doesn't look like a healthy sweat. You know what I mean?
It's the meat sweats.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
It's half white, so you know.
Yeah, and so in that regard, in this movie, he doesn't always look like he's about to fall over.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't look like he's getting over a fever.
To be fair, they did try to pretend like he had a cold.
Yeah. So...
Well, that's the other thing about his character is that he was trying to get rid of his cold by screwing a whore. And he does that actually quite regularly in the film.
What is that? Is that Chinese medicine?
Screwing a whore. Yeah. Take three today and then take this little comb and some cream.
In front of his girlfriend.
In front of his mistress, because he's got a wife and a kid.
Yeah, I don't think him and the wife, I think that's more of like an ex-relationship kind of deal. I think they still like each other, but I don't think they're together at this point.
So he's not, I mean... He's not a nice guy.
No. But he does kill a rapist for her. So, well, she's already pretty much done the job.
It's a grey area.
It's a grey area.
It's weird, but it's
grey. Yeah, she's already kind of done the job. You're right, anyway, it is grey.
So. Not everybody's bad. Not everybody's all bad or all good with shades of grey.
Like your jumper you're wearing. Yeah.
So, they get to the island without any clue of where they are and suddenly discover where they are by showing a photo to the random person on the wharf who happens to be the person that rented them an apartment.
They drove the boats directly to the wharf that they were staying, like they were having lunch there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'd be like taking a ferry to Rottnest and be like, oh, fine, the criminals, they're here somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Eventually you probably would, so long as you don't let anyone else off the island. Mm. My problem with that is how many people were on dialysis that couldn't go get their fucking treatments? How many people did the police kill?
Because they bribed off all the boats, right? They said, all these boats can go, we're renting all these places.
This was the first major crime thing that the police did, wasn't it? So they get to the apartment and find a whole bunch of cash. And so their plan is...
They just take it. We'll just take that shit.
Take the criminals' cash and we'll pay to hire a helicopter and pay all the boats to leave so they can't get off the island.
See, grey area.
Well, the cops have shown that they're not above breaking the laws to do what needs to be done. The amount of manpower and just effort and willingness to break the law to get shit done makes us think
that must be real bad. But all I know is, if by the end of it, all I know is, apart from the rape thing, the rape killing, and that there's like one other dude, they just shot a guy when they stole some shit.
Yeah, I mean, you don't find out until almost close to the end when they're in court and they read out the charge list, right? And most of it is robberies.
Yeah,
with maybe 42, I think it was.
42 robberies, but there's only like one murder at the end attached.
And then it's deliberately ambiguous because you forgot about that weird, like, We Are Lovers scene in the what? With the tarpaulin with the water and stuff like that. And eating cuttlefish.
That's like the weirdest.
That's like Avatar. They really? Found them. Yeah. I got Avatar got vibes because it was all sparkly. There's water up there, and then they're drinking and they're laughing, and it's all
having
nature-y.
A great time. It's covered in dog shit.
Yeah, they're close with nature,
and they sang a song. Don't forget they sang a song.
Karaoke together.
Oh, yes. Weird.
Yes, you're right. Very fucking strange.
Look, I would be lying if I didn't say I thought that would be cool. Something I would like to experience myself. Just sitting there singing karaoke with my girl.
And I don't want to belabor the point, but this goes on quite a while.
Oh, you mean this scene, this romantic scene?
Not just the romantic scene, but the whole island thing goes on for a while. I'm like, is this turning into a survival movie? Like, are we going to just watch
it? Kind of like, is it just going to be, they arrested him and then that's it? Because I was kind of like, I was getting that, not vibe that it's been going too long, but I was going, this is going on an awful long time. We're not like advancing the plot very much.
I know what Kirk Wong is doing. He's showing that this guy has got this dogged determination and he's being
held
back.
And dog shit.
Well, no, I'm talking about Danny Lee. They're showing that Inspector Lee has this incredible determination, right? And he's willing to go and...
That motherfucker isn't down there with a stick. He's flying around in a helicopter. Fuck that guy.
No, but then he was walking. He was walking because no one else was there.
With his sweaty underarms.
And it was the bureaucracy that stopped him because they said, no, we're going to send everyone else back home. And he was right there next to Anthony Wong.
Right. I'm actually kind of surprised Anthony Wong hadn't sharpened a stick by that point, stabbed it right in his fucking like thigh or something.
I thought he was going to do
something.
Yeah,
I totally thought that.
But he
it kind of, I think that was the point though, it was leaning like something was going to happen and then... Out of left field, the villagers come and go, get out of our graveyard.
Yeah.
But it was artificially built tension. I didn't appreciate it.
It's true. But I think that...
It's a movie. It's all artificial tension.
But it's true. Too obvious, man. It's too obvious. It's like somebody announcing, I'm going to tell you a joke now. Prepare to laugh.
So Anthony Wong, the next day, decides to sneak off the island by hiding in a coffin, and he's immediately discovered.
That surprised me. Because they spent all that time building up how they evaded this capture, right? Just for him to be caught the next
scene. I love the fact that they find there's going to be a funeral. The coffin's going to be carried out on a boat or whatever, and they just dump the corpse in the right water. They're being smart. Like, they're covering themselves in dog shit to hide their scents and stuff. They're not like, we better put this corpse somewhere where people won't see it. Or alternatively, weight it down.
Well, so the only way you could leave the island is in a coffin, essentially.
Yeah. Metaphor.
Metaphor. I did like, what was it? His the dead guy's name, Uncle the 15th.
15th Uncle.
15th Uncle. I was like, really?
He got a little makeup, like, looks like youngish guy with makeup, and then just had to dump him in the water for that scene.
What's the relevance of the number again? Because you know, like how Sipsan Yi, like...
Oh, it just means you got lots and lots of uncles then, right?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Like, you know how 13th
are? 15th, that means they must have lots of brothers and sisters.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Wong Fei Hung was going to bang his 13th aunt. Does that mean that they're not really related?
I think
she's
supposed to be a distant relative. I think it just means distant relative.
Yeah, right. They seem very upset that 15th uncle was like...
Well, yeah. Because, yeah, you know.
So he gets caught. He gets put into prison at this point.
Oh, I think they take him back to headquarters to...
interrogate. But they don't beat him. They beat every other person, like, real badly, but they don't beat him.
He just threatens to do something to his family or let the criminals know where his family is because he's killed a bunch of criminals. This is the point, I think, where we start to understand what they've done because we get the first flashback of the jewelry robbery crime.
Yeah. But I want to just go back a little bit, just like the fucking movie goes back a little bit. During the time on the island, we also get a number of flashbacks for his girlfriend.
Met the girl.
Which is, she was being raped, she runs, she's trying to evade her rapist, and he hits the rapist with a car. He gets out and goes, oi, you scratched my car, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. And she goes, he raped me. And then he kicks him. Yeah, he hits him with a car?
No,
that's after.
She goes back.
He takes her to the police station, and then her parents are like going, "Oh, you know, he's a criminal. You probably shouldn't charge him and stuff." And
that's
like,
exactly what you do with criminals—you charge them.
And she's like, "What the fuck, parents? You're like fucking crazy, rightly." And so she runs off, and he's released, and then she immediately attacks him with a bottle and stabs him in the neck.
She finds him.
Yeah.
And it's she's still. I don't know how she finds him, though.
Like, it's like the same night, too, because she's still wearing all the bloody clothes and shit.
Yeah. So it's probably right outside the police station. They probably didn't take him out two different exits, which even the most dumbass bouncers know to do. You've got to take out
several exits.
But they don't do that. So she smashes a bottle over his head, stabs him in the neck. Anthony Wong is in his car, sees what happens, and just drives him.
Yeah, runs him over.
Into a pole.
And then she's like falls head over heels with Anthony Wong, I guess.
Well, he drives his car into the rapist, smashes him into... Actually, he stops and the rapist flies into a pillar, right? Yeah. And then drives the car into the rapist.
Yeah.
Fucking shit stunt.
Then he gets out and pulls the bottle out of his neck.
And you get a little bit of an arterial spray.
Yeah.
This is the weird thing, though, because he gets the bottle, then he goes to Cecilia Yipsindi and he grabs her by the hair... fairly roughly, and then the scene just ends.
She's hysterical, damn it. She needs to be calmed down.
With a slap. Calm down. It's like Airplane, is that what you're referencing? Yeah. Yeah, go get a fucking wrench. Calm down.
Go get a glass bottle, I guess.
Open hand slap with a twist.
It's almost like Stockholm Syndrome, but she's still doing it out of her own free will, unfortunately.
She's part of the group at that point. Yeah. Like, by the heist, she's coordinating them.
Mm. To be fair, her parents were pieces of shit.
Yeah, we don't know about her life.
School principal.
Yeah.
He probably just didn't want to damage his reputation, so...
Mm. But hang on, Anthony Wong was the school principal?
No, the father.
Oh, right. Okay.
She mentioned it in the police station.
I was going to say.
It just stuck with me as a random factoid.
Yeah. But
okay.
Anthony Wong would be a terrible school principal.
Or the best school principal. He would give all the kids cigarettes.
Yeah, have a smoke. Instead of playing the guitar like a dean, he's just like
Robin Williams. You want him as a Robin Williams kind of... role.
Yes.
It's not your fault.
What are you doing, man?
So there's a lot of beatings and stuff going. There's also another like shitty C plot that's happening during this movie, which is the mole in the police department keeps calling the internal affairs.
Yeah.
He keeps calling the people.
Capo?
I
don't know what Capo stands
for. I have to look it up.
Yeah.
But he keeps calling them in, going, "They're roughing up all their people. There's complaints."
But the guy who leads Capo is just the smarmiest prick in the whole... That's his job, right?
Yeah.
Despite all this chaos around and these guys, the good guys, who's the real bad guy? Guy is the number one hateable guy.
There is a page on the police.gov.hk page that says complaints against police force.
I want to set up the scene on how this is so unrealistic, but also is to set up that artificial tension, is the police are actively investigating and interrogating the criminals that they've just caught. Capo blast into the room, effectively tell them to shut it down because there have been complaints against the police, actively destroying a current investigation and interrogation.
They're dicks.
At the same time, they were torturing those people.
Yes, that's true. They had to hide that shit, yes. But the Capo didn't know that.
Well, they did because they were told.
Yeah, well... No evidence.
Well, that's why they needed to get there to watch it.
Then why did they lock them all up in the room together?
I don't know.
That was weird. They said like it's evidence now, so you can't.
Yeah.
You can't. You're not allowed to leave the room or something.
Mm.
Odd. I just wanted that room to explode.
Yeah, it would have been great. It would have been really good.
Cop fighting.
That's pretty good. Police procedural.
So while that's going on, Dragon Lee is actually convinced Anthony Wong to confess to his crimes by playing on the family angle. So he's basically got him to write a confession. And that's the point where we get the flashback about the first jewelry heist and murder. And then we go to him coming in to deal with the capo, stopping the other ones, whilst the capo have then secretly gone and taken Anthony Wong to the hospital to check on his... injuries.
Yeah, and he uses this time, Anthony Wong uses this time to escape, sort of.
Yep, and he's given assistance by the mole at the hospital.
That's right.
Spoilers, Roy Chern.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Like, it's a mystery. They don't tell you it's Roy Chern.
But you know.
They show like a little bit of him with his keychain and shit, so you don't know who it is. Mm. But it's no big mystery.
It's not a fucking mystery.
Yeah.
He's the only one who's like of the secondary characters in that group who is like smarmy and sort of out of the group.
And has enough lines that you think he may come up later.
Yeah. So he goes in for an X-ray. He breaks a fluorescent light, puts it to the nurse's throat, moves through the hospital. Eventually, the mole tries to get him a gun at this point.
And the keys.
I think he uses the keys because he can't get the gun. He can't reach the gun because it's fallen under something. He goes into an operating room and, oh no, the operating room's got a child in it. And so Anthony Wong's like, oh no, my fucking emotional weakness. And he hands himself over.
And then he also pulled out the oxygen thing so no one can shoot anyone in the room. Yeah. And then the mother comes in and begs him to stop messing around and with the son's life, basically.
Yeah, he's a criminal with a heart of gold, Anthony Wong. Well, maybe not gold, maybe silver.
Yeah, it's tarnished. It's a tarnished silver.
Yeah, it's tarnished silver.
It's sort of like a copper art or something.
So from there we head to the courthouse to get him arraigned on the crimes.
The where?
Court!
Thank you.
They do shout out, court!
How many weeks were there?
So we know where they are.
There weren't any weeks.
Oh, yeah, there weren't, actually. I don't see.
Do you know who the judge is, according to the casting? Unknown 90s actor.
Is it really? Is that what it's...
You know what? Wow. I almost thought that I'd seen him in other movies as the judge. Like, maybe he's just a bit part actor.
Maybe he just hangs out at the set that looks like a judge, hoping for a date for a payday.
He stands there looking debonair, just going, oh, somebody should be chosen to play this judge.
If you ask, I have my own wig. I come pre-dressed.
And I have this guy who yells court all the time.
Around the setting, we've got a cross setting of the girlfriend setting up people to break him out, like buying some guns from the mainlanders and...
Those dirty mainlanders.
Hiring them to come and break him out of the court.
Doesn't work.
Well, she comes in later. She's not in the whole court proceedings.
Yeah.
No, I missed a certain specific point. Before that happens... His girlfriend, daughter, whatever, is gotten to by the smarmy...
No, Anthony Wong's Detective Lee's.
Detective Lee,
sorry. Yeah, not Cindy.
Not Cindy.
Anna
is gotten to by the smarmy cop and blackmailed into helping him try and take out Detective Lee for a minute. And he breaks into the house, but she warns him at the last second and smarmy cop gets away. But then he's planted evidence at Anna's house and called Infernal Affairs.
Infernal Affairs.
Yeah, that's right.
On Anna. So it's this point that Detective Lee starts thinking there's a mole and other stuff going on there. So then we lead to the court and this is the flipping the script bit because Anthony Wong has secretly put a code in his confession saying, I was made to write this.
People actually do that.
Yeah, exactly.
What would it matter if you did, though, is the thing.
Circumstantial.
Like, yeah. Not even circumstantial, like, so?
Yeah.
You were made to write it?
What is this, Wordle? We're not fucking doing anagrams. If you use these letters, it spells...
It means you get out of jail. It's some kind of weird, like, it's magic.
Yeah.
Fake confession. But Dragon Lee was... ahead of him and he read the confession again before and then forged a new confession.
Which I'm pretty sure is pretty criminal.
Illegal.
Yeah, completely illegal.
Yeah.
Which means the whole thing is out. But at the same time, I'm kind of like he literally tried to escape. We don't know how long it's been since, because it wouldn't be the next day you go to court or whatever. It'd be like days after. But he literally tried to escape from prison.
That's a crime too.
That's a crime on its own.
Yeah, exactly. So- and there's lots of witnesses, so it's not like he's getting away with that. I did like the fact that the new anagram was "I deserve to die."
Yeah,
instead of 5 minutes.
I mean, Anthony Wong is essentially defending himself from this cage that he's in court.
Who wouldn't put a roof on that cage?
Exactly. Yeah, no.
That and made no sense.
The cage has got bars; you can easily climb.
Yeah,
horizontal bars.
Yeah,
but Anthony Wong is testifying to the judge and saying, "Look at these bruises and shit." I'm pretty sure you can't defend yourself like that.
No, I'm pretty sure you can't. But I don't know. Maybe they don't know how actual courts work. Or maybe that is how Hong Kong works. I don't know.
Yeah, that's nice and dramatic. And you can zoom in on the bars with a fisheye lens.
Also, this is right? This isn't just me thinking the movie's smarter than it is. The idea was never to get them out of that courtroom. It was to get them separated so that they could take down the communications of the police while they were transporting them once they were leaving the courthouse, right?
Yeah, I gathered the idea was to make them think that the coup was over by setting up the mainlanders to get caught trying to break him out, and they'll go, oh, okay, that's it, we've foiled their plot. And then
there's a real plot.
There's a real, the secondary plot.
Which is good. And that then you get the fireworks factory.
I can't remember what happens after this.
Bang, bang, bang!
No, because they we reached the fireworks factory at the end.
The one part I did like in the court was then we started to get some actual martial arts actions when they were beating up the mainlanders. Like flipping them onto the tables and flipping over and kicking them down.
What I appreciated was that the tables were real and solid. They did not break.
They did not break. They did not break.
Shit's done.
And Fan Tzu Wong's like, yes, I get to kick somebody.
I love that at the very hint of somebody coming into the courtroom. So when Daniel Lee finds out that Anthony Wong's attorney showing up, he pulls his gun out in court and points it at the door. And I thought, that's not normal. And the judge goes, you can't have a gun in here. And they take it. But then the attorney comes in through all the brouhaha. And the attorney's not obviously an attorney. They're some thug. And they've got a gun in their briefcase. And then that's when the shit goes down. And Fan Tzu Wong has to rip his shirt off. Well, he doesn't. But it would have been cool if he did.
You know what would have been better? Like, just from a like a, an acting, not an acting like in this movie, but like as that guy, the fake lawyer coming in. He shouldn't have gone straight to the gun. He should have sat down, got papers out, and like, I motion to dismiss. Yeah, and then tried to, you know, 15 minutes in, then you get the gun out.
Objection! Pa-pow, pa-pow, pow.
You know, lull him into a false sense of security.
He goes, I guess you can say, he puts the glass on, this is a mistrial.
Missed opportunity.
So, yeah, but this is the fireworks factory at this point in the movie. Like, there is a gun battle in the streets of Hong Kong, and it is pretty great.
There's a lot of firing going on. Car smashing, people getting run over. Actually, I don't think anyone got run over.
But for the distance they cover and the shots they fired.
It looks like one street only that they could shut down.
It's like they moved three blocks. It's about three blocks up the same street.
Yeah.
It's like they went two steps forward and 18 steps back. And they're getting away from us. It's like, what? This guy's got eight bullets in him and they're like handcuffed together.
She's got like a signal jammer or something. It's like this little mini satellite dish on a box that she's like...
For a second, I thought she was trying to find a signal, not shut a signal down.
It like blocks all the televisions; they all go fuzzy in the area. And people on the mobile,
going, hello.
But I did like the fact, like when Dragon Lee's running around, he goes, "Oh, a landline," and picks up the normal phone and calls some police there. It's like you better, you know, turn off these traffic lights to block up the area. That was smart move one. And then
he doesn't like. It sounds like it's a smart move. Yeah. Like he's trying to save civilians, but then he's just fucking gunning people.
Exactly. He just closed the door, so they're all caught in the middle of the crossfire.
Wow. He's shooting indiscriminately. I'm pretty sure at one scene the cops are shooting over civilians.
Yeah.
Like, they're like cowering in front of them, and like, oh, we won't pull them out of the way first. We'll just start firing.
Yeah. Well, they were ducking.
Yeah.
That was the one thing in this. There was like no police procedure at all for getting civilians out of the way. It was just like. Out of the way.
If anything, by shutting down the island and by doing this to the civilians, I actually think that the criminals might be onto something that like they need to not trust these cops.
I wouldn't trust these cops.
Yeah, I don't think they've got the civilians' best interests at heart.
It's not protect and serve. No.
Did am I right in saying that Mustache got shot?
No, it was some other guy with a crew cut.
Some guy got shot, right?
Yeah. One cop got gut.
It was barely acknowledged, though.
Yeah.
It was kind of, just collateral.
Oh, I'm glad, because I didn't want Mustache to go. I'm pretty sure Mustache shot a couple of bad guys, though.
He's the real hero.
there wasn't very much going on. Apart from the gunplay, there wasn't very much going on. I did kind of like... Celia, is that her name?
Yeah,
Celia. Yep. She's great.
She was fucking good in this. She was like, I own my Bonnie and Clyde moment. This is great.
She's got a big fucking pump action shotgun.
Yeah.
And going around blowing. Yeah. She doesn't kill anyone. She just shoots a lot of doors and cars.
Yeah, she shoots indiscriminately, though.
That gun looks very big compared to her.
She looked very tiny.
Can you just imagine when you read the script and you're like, there's a giant gun that I get to use at the end of the movie. I'll be like, yes, sign me up.
Oh, by the way, you have to wear flats and a miniskirt.
And you have to get raped in the first part of the movie. But anyway.
I think there's probably some stills of her in this film that would be good as like wallpaper. Probably because it would like her with a shotgun in the dress that she's wearing.
Just take a screenshot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like an exploitation film, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. No, she's really good. I mean.
And the police didn't fucking help her. Fuck them.
If anything, this film probably would have been stronger if it was just their story. If it was just Cindy and Anthony Wong's story.
That's what they're trying to do.
Them staying on the island and trying to evade the cops more like a Bonnie and Clyde would have made maybe a better movie.
I agree.
Then they could have sung a song in the middle of the movie.
They could have rolled down the hill some more.
And then they wouldn't have had to pay like Danny Lee so much money. They could have just had some other rando cop, Tommy Lee Jones.
Like a big like tense shoot out and they're holed up in a cave somewhere.
I think Bonnie and Clyde works better, like that kind of like cat and mouse thing works better when you're not trapped on an island. I think it should have been a road trip, but I don't know how much road is in Hong Kong. They just go around the island.
Oh, well, the island was good for that tension in that they evaded that that kind of everything is encroaching on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they got the best of both worlds because they had that and then they also had that street shootout later on. But the payoff for, spoilers, Anthony Wong's death at the end would have been a bit more if his story was just the two of those guys.
Yeah.
Because I don't know whether I should be rooting for Inspector Lee to win or Anthony Wong to win. Anthony Wong to win. Because he likes kids. I mean, that's cool.
To be fair, Celia does get winged.
No, in her arms. She got shot in her arms. Yes, she did. She didn't die, though.
No. She didn't die.
No.
The woman did not die in this film.
So you're not rooting for that, but you're rooting for any of those other cops to punch those Infernal Affairs guys out.
Yeah. Oh, that.
And they do.
That's the most unrealistic, but also I hate myself for liking it moments.
That was like a weird, almost comedic moment.
Yeah,
like, am I watching the same movie?
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was part of the same film.
It's been switched to like a Stephen Chow movie now.
It's pretty great though.
One of those moments where the capo guy has absolutely no authority because he's all about the complaints, but nobody is listening to him anymore. And so the cops, Inspector Lee and all of his crew just decide, I guess we can beat the shit out of you now.
And the journalists have turned a blind eye. They're like, we didn't see anything. Off we go.
And then freeze frame
of Danny Lee walking. Yeah, walking. I'm walking here.
Down this shut down Hong Kong street.
What has he achieved? Can I ask you that? What has he achieved?
He got Anthony Wong to kill himself.
Oh.
Is that what he wanted?
He achieved law and order.
Sort of.
Did he?
I think he made a bigger mess than what he was arrested, to be honest.
Pretty sure he broke more laws than he
said. It was like triumphant or great or
anything.
There's
going to be a hell of a lot of paperwork tomorrow.
He doesn't have to do it. It'll be Fan Su Wong or some other shit kicker.
They'll get the woman to do it.
Yeah. I don't honestly know whether I should root for Danny Wong. Danny Wong. Fucking Anthony Wong. I don't know.
No, you shouldn't. He's a terrible person.
He is. He's not a cool dude.
Oh, he's a cool dude, but he's a terrible person.
He's a cool dude. I don't know. His motivation is not clear to me. If Anthony Wong had killed his missus, his partner, his somebody, why is he so gung-ho about this guy? Does he have no other cases?
I guess not.
There was a photo of a partner or something. Danny Lee had a partner or something, but there's nothing.
I thought that was going to be. I thought he was going to be the guy that Anthony Wong shot when they were leaving the jewelry store. But that's the guy who looked like a civilian.
Yeah,
so, just a dude.
Yeah, just a guy.
So those two, Danny Lee and Anthony Wong, have this weird respect for each other, and it shows in parts of this movie. I feel like they needed a flashback or another scene where one saves the other from something or some kind of setup to have that respect, as opposed to I'm the boss and you're the boss.
Maybe in the scheme of this movie, that's very grey. There is no clear cut reason for anything.
It's like, I saved you once.
Again,
like
it's just a series of events.
Yeah. And much as like Cindy's just I guess by the end of the movie, she's more of a victim of her circumstances than anything, although she has free choice, but...
It's kind of like...
She wouldn't have been driven to it if they'd fucking arrested her Roper.
Yeah, true. But it's kind of like he's walking away and it's like, that's the job next day.
That's the job. Now part two. He's after some other guy, like, yeah.
I want the sequel where Fan Su Wong just takes his shirt off and doesn't put it back on, and he's the boss.
They go to Miami and shoot a shark.
In fact, it's Inspector Lee chasing him down, going, "You need to put a shirt on.
You're sweating too much."
No, it's the complaints police. You need to put a shirt on. We've had too many complaints from husbands.
No shirt, no policing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no. Did you say that there was multiple of these or multiple types of these?
It's like Kirk Wong has made like three of these in a row. Like
three in a row.
He was trying to get it down.
Yeah, there was like a Cat 3 1994, was it Rock and Roll Cop or something?
94 as well.
Yeah. So I don't know when what the timeline is for making it, but they're released in the same year, and Anthony Wong is the cop in that one.
Ooh.
Okay. So
Rock and Roll and Cop. Then,
you can tell by the name Rock and Roll Cop.
Yeah, and then Sandwich is the Jackie Chan movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. So Crime Story, this and Rock and Roll Cop.
So I guess they get a bit bigger each time.
What made Jackie Chan decide, yeah, I'm gonna be Danny Lee. I'm going to do this.
I'm going to ask, didn't we this get raised? Isn't this something we learnt? Isn't this a movie he had to do to pay off some
Fantasy Island. No, not Fantasy Island.
Fantasy Mission Force?
Fantasy Mission Force.
Fantasy Mission Force. No,
the plane, boss. The plane.
No, you're right. You're right. It is. It's when he was doing City Hunter and he had to double in the daytime and do Crime Story as well. Because Jet Li pulled out of it or something.
Serious.
Someone pulled out because Jackie wasn't going to star in it and he had to do that during the daytime when he was doing City Hunter. You're right. That's right.
That's such a weird role for him, that Crime Story.
Yeah. And it was something to do that he had to do part of a payback kind of thing for something else for one of the producers of the movie. That's right.
If Danny Lee, although you can't do all the stunts and stuff, did that movie Crime Story instead, I believe all that crap that he's spouting about, you know, doing the right thing or something like that.
I can believe both Danny Lee and Jackie Chan would bust a union though.
With scab. Okay. Sure.
Be more believable for Danny Lee to do it.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan.
Actually, no. I think Danny Lee probably wouldn't cross a picket line.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, I have a feeling that he would be like, no, I ain't doing that. I want my money.
So, yeah. Organized Crime and Triad Bureau.
It was fun.
Probably check it out. Kirk Wong.
Goes at a million miles an hour.
Yeah, it's not. Quick. It's a bit of a it doesn't let up. I did get on my phone, but that's only because of a very specific thing. I was hooked until the end.
I think it was shot really nicely. There's some excellent shots of Hong Kong.
It's also some bad shots, the cinematography itself.
Like they're trying to go for cinematic drone shots, but it's clear it's a helicopter in the wind going.
I think it was a kite.
Just hold the fucking camera still for a minute. Yeah.
I would like to watch a cleaned up version because that was a bit blown out, and I don't think there's been like a Blu-ray transfer or anything.
I don't think so.
So a nice cleaned up version would be cool. The music was very repetitive, but kind of worked.
Not bad.
Kind of worked.
Music was alright.
When's my Danny Lee Blu-ray box set coming out?
Oh,
eh?
Yeah.
There's got to be something like that coming out. There's so many of these films and there's so many like little imprint DVD and Blu-ray places now that they're releasing box sets for like everything. Shit I've never heard of before.
Or twice.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if something like that doesn't come out at some point.
Mm. I thought it looked good. I probably would have liked to have seen better lighting because that kind of really evokes that emotion for a noir film or a cop thriller film. The cinematography was okay. The direction was actually not bad.
The last half an hour is very good.
Yeah.
Everything from about the flashback from the jewelry store, which you get while they're in when he's in custody, through, which is like 45 minutes of the film out of a 90-minute film. It's half.
MVP Anthony Wong. MVP.
Celia Yip.
Oh, yeah. Yip. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Do we want to do thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs in the middle.
Whoa!
Okay.
I
like it. It's a bit light in the action. And I don't know. Thumbs in the middle.
Rachel?
Thumbs up. It's a period piece, I reckon. 94 is where it's at.
You
can't do it now.
It's a period piece that was made at the time.
Yeah, and everything is grey. Yes. And everything is grey because that's how you can present
it's
it then.
Into a period
and you
piece.
Can't do that now. So.
It's contemporaneous.
There is something when I watch these films. I never got to go to Hong Kong in the 80s or the 90s. But when I watch them, I'm like, fuck, I'm upset that I never got to go to Hong Kong in the 80s or the 90s. Very upset. Because the last half an hour, they're just shooting a bunch of shit on a Hong Kong. And you're just like, wow, it looks pretty cool.
Oh, it would have been cool if you were there. Yeah. Sweating your balls off, but yeah.
Yeah. But so thumbs up, I guess. Thumbs up for the last 45 minutes. Like, I'd watch that again right now.
Right now.
I'll give it a thumbs up. I'm kind of closer to the Scots in the middle, but I think the last part of it just got me to go up. I don't think I'd watch it again straight away, but I thought it was pretty good for what it was.
I probably wouldn't watch it again, but I'm going to give it a thumbs up because of Anthony Wong, who I think without Anthony Wong in this film, I don't know that it would...
I think if you put two different leads in it,
charismatic, yeah.
I think if you put two different leads in it, you could still make it work. It would have a completely different feel.
Yeah.
Hear me out. So about Anthony Wong for Jason Pipe, yeah?
No.
No.
Dick Way.
No.
Oh, that would be a different film. But I'd still Sam. Watch that.
I just think Danny Lee's the cop of the moment and Anthony Wong is the creep of the moment, so it really works then.
Yeah.
And also 4 sweaty buckets out of 5.
4 sweaty buckets out of 5.
In terms of sweat meter.
I was just imagining a Dick Way film where you have 2 Dick Ways and they're twins.
What are you going to call the movie? The two dicks?
One got a mess.
Two dicks?
One got a mess.
No, I'd call it double penetration. That's what I'd call it.
Wait, could have just gone with double.
Wait, just gone with double impact.
All right, hear me out. Hear me out. So about Danny Lee for Conan Lee?
Oh, yeah. You could have Danny Lee and Conan Lee and call it the Lee Brothers. Lee Bros.
Sorry, we forget Conan Lee. He deserves a beating at the end.
Oh, that's harsh.
I don't like him.
You don't like Conan Lee?
No, I don't.
Put him in the corruption role and bash him at the end.
He is a bit full of himself. Is there anything?
One more.
Yes.
So about Danny Lee with Simon Yam.
Danny Lee with Simon Yam.
That's a conflicted.
I would be confused. Simon Yam as Danny Lee's character.
But he's played cops as well.
He has, but he has a different...
Simon Yam's cop face.
Yeah, Simon Yam's got a different cop vibe.
He's sad cop who's got problems.
You know what? Simon Yam as the leader of Capo. That's kind of where I see
an asshole, yeah.
Yeah.
And Dick Way's the mole.
Yeah, I'd see that. Is there anything that you saw in this film that you'd either go, I'd try that at home, or I'd like to do this...
Cartwheel in court.
Oh shit, yeah. She did do a cartwheel in court and then kicked the fuck out of that guy.
Then I think she jumped over the bench or something to go back to a seat.
She was awesome.
Oh, you know what I do? I do, at some point, Inspector Lee, Danny Lee, is chasing, he's running down the freeway and he just fucking vaults over one of the balustrades. Like
yeah.
And that was a clean vault. He's an athlete.
Looked very
dude.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd do that.
Jump from the apartment into the pool.
Whee! That's pretty cool.
We also just dangerous. Do that at the next party we go to.
Big bomby.
we'll do Edward 40 hands and we'll jump in the pool from the roof. It'd be great.
No, man. Like, you fuck up just a little bit and it's serious.
All right, fine. Roll down the hill. How about that?
That's safer. Yeah, do that. Do that. That's safer.
With cardboard.
Sambo's got your back, man.
Yeah.
Nathan,
I think you've taken all the good ones. I can't think of literally. There's not that much action in this movie.
A night in the graveyard.
I did like the fact that one of them would just had human skeleton out. I was like, whose cemetery just leaves a skeleton sitting there?
Air burial.
Air burial.
Is that like Air Nike? No, like air it's a sky burial. It's a technical term is a sky burial where you leave the corpse out and you that's allow like animals to pick it
clean. Oh, Indian burial.
Oh my god!
I think that's against Chinese tradition.
My kids, if you're listening, don't ever fucking do that with me.
I want all the embalming.
They donate their body to like science or something. They just leave it out in the field.
The easiest and quickest way. I want to walk down the street with a fucking pop-action shotgun, wrecking the cops. I want to get 5 stars on GTA.
Wow. Actually, I've changed my mind. I want to unbutton my shirt every chance I get and walk around with shirtless and just go, what? What are you talking about?
And just as the day goes on, just get one button lower.
Yeah, yeah. And then piss on the floor and go, bloody control problems.
Those scenes where they're beating up the suspects and then covering that, that's pretty funny. Oops, I just spraying the spray around and
yeah, like it's
nothing to see here.
It's like some kind of...
Sure, we're not waterboarding these people. It's fine.
They're doing criminal activities. It's not like you've just accidentally eaten the cookie that you're not supposed to eat. Oh, yeah.
That woman grabs that dude's nuts pretty badly.
They pull his underwear down, tighty-whities, and yeah. And her hand, if it's not on his junk, is mighty close to his actual raw junk.
Yep.
Zoom in on the shot.
Forced perspective. It's what makes it bigger.
At the same time, though, it's not like they're not actually criminals.
Well, they're both criminals.
At this point, all we know, like, we don't know what... During this period, we don't know what their fucking crime is. Literally, 42 robberies. We find out 42 robberies, 1 murder. None of those guys killed anybody else.
What do you mean just 1 murder?
He had the crime scene shots of that. But that was him.
That was just Anthony Wong.
Oh, okay, yeah, true. The rest of the gang, it doesn't say that.
Yeah, they're just torturing those dudes.
What's the confession they're after with the waterboarding? Like, what kind of confession are they after?
I think they want to...
Individually get each other?
Yeah, Anthony Wong doesn't... From what I gathered from that scene, and I don't speak Cantonese, and I'm just reading these shitty subtitles, but what I got from that is they knew a tall man shot the guy. And Anthony Wong fits the description, and they wanted him to confess, but they also wanted the other guys to implicate him.
Right.
That's what I got from
that. I didn't really pick up on that at all either.
Because they kept going, there was a tall guy.
Yeah, is Anthony Wong that tall, I guess?
Yeah, there was a shot of him and the other guys, and they were way shorter than him.
I guess that's why they're like treating him nice, right? He's like, why are you treating me so nice?
Yeah.
Because you're tall.
Because bad cop, good cop.
Treat all tall people well.
That's true. It's a scientifically proven thing.
What's it called? It's a pretty privilege. Yeah. Yeah, I believe that.
Does anyone know about it?
I mean, I personally, you know, it's something that I've always had to live with. It's a crippling disease that I have. Look, I had to look up how tall Anthony Wong is.
I'm sure he's not that tall.
But they do show him with his crew, and he is at least half a head taller than all of the rest.
They're short people.
Not to get a genetic, but he's also got different ethnicities as well.
True. Okay, I've just figured out how tall he is. Closest to his height. What do we reckon in centimeters?
Oh, in centimeters?
5 foot 10.
That's not centimeters. 173.
179.
I don't know, 7'5".
What?
175.
7'5". I'm like, what the fuck?
171.
You're looking it up.
He's 1.8.
That's actually pretty tall.
That is pretty tall.
That is actually pretty fucking tall.
Is that 6 foot?
Yeah. I think 183 is 6 foot.
Yeah.
So he's
like 5'11".
He's taller than me.
Yeah, he's taller than me.
Yeah.
Shit, I'd be looking up to Anthony Wong. I look up to him now.
Anyway. Yeah, so do I. Yeah. How can you manage to look so much like a junkie and yet so suave?
He's a suave junkie.
Hey, you were talking about pretty privilege, and I was going to make a joke about we're from Rockingham, we don't have that. And I just got reminded we got some nice feedback here from Wade. Thank you very much for your message there, Wade, and 6168, because we're all from Rockingham here, pretty much.
Well, the fancy ones of us are from Rockingham. Yeah, some of us might be from other places.
Yes.
Hashtag 6168 for life.
Thanks for your patronage.
You don't want to read out his feedback? It was quite nice.
It was probably like, shut the fuck up, you idiots.
Just discovered you a week ago and been binging and loving what you do. Then I realized one of you kept name dropping my hometown. What the fuck? Keep up the great work, guys. Hashtag 6168.
Can you imagine binging the Asian Action Cast?
Oh, those early episodes were brutal. Oh.
Good evening.
All the time. Well, at least he has context for the jokes about eagles and all those things.
So. Has he gotten out the bingo mat yet?
Ding. Plucky. That's a good note.
Thank you, Wade, for listening. And anybody else wants to give us some feedback or wants to give us a suggestion, as I run out of breath, excuse me, AsianActionCast@gmail.com. Also, we're on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, I would say Twitter, but it's X now.
X. Well, all the Twitter says is, I just posted the photo.
Does anyone have a Blue Sky?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Blue Sky is the new Twitter.
Nah.
Why is it not called X?
I have Threads.
Oh, it's not actually Twitter.
It's made by Jack Dorsey, who was in charge of Twitter before they sold it. So as soon as it got sold, he made a new company. But it's only it's invite only at the moment. It's in beta.
Oh, shit.
But that's where it seems like everybody I listen to has moved to.
Wow, sounds exclusive.
At the moment, yes.
I'm all about exclusivity.
I don't want to be a member of any club that'll have me.
Oh.
Nah, don't go to Blue Sky. Send us a telegram or something like that.
What? Telegram for Mr. Mango. Oh,
we're on Truth Social now.
What?
Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, God.
All right, let's end it. Moving on.
Bye.
Thanks for having us.
No, I don't want to be a member of any club that will have me.
Oh.